Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
But just in church in general, in that people know how to be good attenders, but not necessarily what it means to be a member of a church and a Christian disciple. It's more than just checking that I went to church today box. So I want to help us actually grow spiritually so that we're connecting to God and that we look different in 2016 than we did in 2009. If your Christian life is the same, Houston, we have a problem. So I want to make sure that we're helping people to grow in Christian maturity. If you have your Bibles, your book of instruction, before leaving earth, I want to invite your attention to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 11 through 14. While you are turning there, I want to certainly appreciate and celebrate the staff of Uplift Church. They are absolutely amazing. You all have no idea how thankful I am for having such a tremendous staff who gives their input, who shows up, and who works diligently and faithfully. So I am so appreciative of all that they do, from making the coffee to simply putting the rug down to running wires and cables. They are such an amazing, amazing team. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 11 through 14. When you have it, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. We know that when we looked in the book of Nehemiah, when Ezra and them found the scroll, the people were so honored to hear the word of God that they stood up the whole time he read the scrolls. Hebrews chapter number 5. When you've got it, say amen. All right, we're going to have some fun. Let's try this again. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 11. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Here's what it says. Concerning him, being Jesus Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor. Now, I need to coach y'all on this one as well. I'll tell the story in just a little bit of how my mama did this. I need you all to get the I'm a parent today look, and your child has got on your last nerve. I need you to have that kind of, some parents, you don't have to practice it. You might already be there, but I just want you to have the look of it. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning.
Good to see you.
Glad you're in church.
Today's sermon is,
you better eat. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Say, neighbor. Hey.
How you doing?
Glad you're in church.
Glad to see you.
You better eat. All right. You may be seated in the presence of God. You better eat. Lord, we come before you now and we thank you for this opportunity to worship and to praise you. I pray now, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silent now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. God, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You better eat. Growing up, my mother, Tanda would get up early in the morning and she would go to work. Then she would come home in the evening. She would be tired because she has worked all day to try to provide for us and to keep the lights on for us. My mother had worked hard. After working hard, she would come home. She would go into the kitchen. Now, there was not much in the kitchen anyway, but some kind of way, she would fix a meal for us to eat. Mama would say, y'all come on and eat. So my sisters and I, we would go and we would sit down at the table where my mom had spent time. She had fixed food, but I just didn't want it. I had eaten snacks before dinner. I had eaten cereal after school, then I had some chips, and then I had one of them little popsicles, you know, the ones we used to have, and you just could never get enough of, wasn't nothing in it but sugar water. That's why I had that, and so I sat down, and I looked at the food, and in my ignorance and immaturity, I had the audacity, the gall, to look at what my mama had came home and cooked for us and say, I don't want it. My mother never took time to ask me, son, why don't you want it? My mother never asked me, son, have you eaten already? My mama didn't ask none of that. My mama looked at me and she said, boy, you better eat. Because my mother had taken her time to prepare food for me. And it was not that she was concerned with losing the food or that the food would go to waste, but rather she wanted to make sure that her children were fed well. She wanted to make sure that we had a balanced diet. She knew that I could not be sustained on snacks, but I needed protein and vegetables. So my mama, she looked at me with the look of love and anger. That's a look that only a mama can give. She looked at me with love and anger and said, boy, you better eat. My mother knew that in order for me to grow to be a healthy child, I needed a certain diet. You better eat. She understood that I have to develop an appetite for something more than cereal, chips, and popsicles. If I was going to get stronger and smarter, my mother would say, boy, you better eat. She wasn't worried about the food going to waste. She was worried about me sitting at the table with food that I needed and decided to let it go. She knew in order for me to grow and mature that I better eat. One of the problems we have today is that we got a lot of converts to Christianity, but very few disciples. We've got people who are church members, but not disciples. Yes, sir. The problem we have in the family of God is that we have a lot of people who've grown up in church but have never grown in church. We have people who go to church and they had their families go to church, but they've never grown. We have people who join the church, and that's a good thing, but the problem is that you've become comfortable because you've just become a member of the church. But you've not grown in the church. You've been surviving off snacks and not a balanced diet. Give me a song, a good song that's going to make me clap. And a little bit of sermon, not too long, not too short, just so I can say I did church today. That's really all I want. God has sent me with a word today for somebody to simply say, you better eat. Here we are in the book of Hebrews. It's a unique book in the New Testament because we don't really know who wrote the book. 1611 version of King James Bible credits Paul as the author, but we don't really know that because it's not Paul's style of writing. Martin Luther, great reformer, said it was Apollos
who wrote it.
Others said, no, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't Apollos, but rather it was Silas who wrote it. We don't know who the author of the book is. Not only do we not know who the author of the book is, we really are not certain who the book was written to. We don't know what church it was written to. We don't know what members it was written to. We don't really know that. What we do know is that the members of the church he's writing to are not new converts. Now, they've been in church a while. You know, their mom and them went to church. And so they knew how to do church. They knew that if a preacher were closing and he began to tune, to stand up anyway. They knew if you started talking about the cross just to say, hey, they knew how to do church. They knew some of the hymns of the church. Didn't have to read it. I just knew it. They were not new converts. They were church people. We don't know who the author was. We don't know exactly who the people were. We also know that the people were having some difficulties because they had a challenge of actually going back to the way life used to be. Been in church for a while, and the thrill was gone. They used to have zeal for God, but over time, that just faded. We don't know the name of the church, but we know some things about the members. We knew they were under pressure from people that did not believe in Jesus to give up this Christian life and to go back to the old things. What I like about this book, though, this particular letter, is that it's unlike any other in the New Testament. It's special. It does not start chapter 1 with the words, hey, y'all, I'm so-and-so, glad to write to you. It does not start the way Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ. It does not begin with the formal greeting, I've heard good things about you. It does not start like that at all. He never says hey, never gives a greeting. He just begins talking about what he's going to talk about. The author just goes right into what he wants to say. Not only is it missing a greeting, but chapter 11, verse 32, he says, if I had more time, I would tell y'all about Samson. I would tell y'all about David. I would tell y'all about the prophets. If I just had more time. As a preacher, I've heard that a lot. Because this lets us know that this was not a general letter, but rather this may very well have been a sermon that was preached to the church. And we have the pleasure of simply eavesdropping on a sermon to the first century church. The preacher in the text is talking about how Jesus did so much for them, that Jesus was unique and that there was nobody like him. From chapters 1 through chapter 6, he talks about how Jesus was better than the prophets. He talks about how Jesus was better than the angels. He talks about how Jesus was better than Moses, how Jesus was better than Aaron, that Jesus was our perfect high priest. He wants us to understand that Jesus was the Lamb of God, slain for our sins. But not only that, not only was he the Lamb, but he was the perfect high priest that was able to scoop up the blood from the Lamb and carry it before the Holy of Holies as the priest for us. But not only that, he was able to go from there to being the Father who received the offering. Jesus is perfect, unlike anybody else. That's the preacher talking about from chapters 1. Through chapter 6, Jesus is better than all. He was our perfect high priest. He's preaching. He's in the middle of his sermon. And he stops. He stops in the middle of his sermon. And he, in essence, looks at the members of the congregation. We don't know who they were. You can put whatever name you want to put there. He looks at the members of the church in the middle of his sermon, and he says, I want to tell you so much more, but it's hard to explain because you ain't listening anyway. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be able to explain to somebody else more about the gospel, but you still need a tutor. You don't even get the basic stuff. You need milk, not solid food. You are a baby and you are not ready to grow. Salad food is for people who are mature because they began to practice what they learned and they've grown in their faith and they know the difference between good and evil, but not you. Then in verse 1 of chapter 6, he in essence says, you better eat. Brothers and sisters, there are a couple of things in our eavesdropping session that I want to highlight for us this morning. First of all, my brothers and my sisters, in the text we see something about losing your hearing. Losing your hearing. He says, I want to tell you more, but you've become dull in your hearing. How do we as church members, how do we as Christians become dull in our hearing? See if I can help you out. I play golf. I'm a golf player. Like literally in the trunk of my car right now are golf clubs. I play golf. I've got good golf clubs. As a matter of fact, I've got the expensive golf balls. I've got like the tightest golf ball for those who play. And so they ain't cheap. I play golf. Got Nike golf shoes. Whatever Tiger Woods has, I play golf, y'all. I'm serious about this thing. And I've got a Nike golf bag. So I do it. My golf clubs are clean. I keep them polished. I play golf. I do. This is my thing. A couple of weeks ago, I played golf in a Morehouse alumni golf tournament, right? So my son goes to Morehouse, and so he needs scholarship money. So I played golf in Morehouse golf tournament. I'm a Howard man, but you get the point. So we do what we must for our children. So playing golf with some preacher friends of mine, a couple of friends I know went to Morehouse. And so we are out in Bowie playing golf because I play golf. I got the golf clothes. I've got the golf shoes. I played golf for years. Like, I've been playing golf for like 7 or 8 years. Y'all know I've got a golf trophy. I've beat my friends in golf. I've done this for years. Got on golf clubs, golf course, and I'm the first one to tee off. I look apart. I look back at the preacher. I say, preachers, I've played golf for years. I like golf. This is my thing. And the only problem was, I haven't played in at least a year. So I wind up in the swing because I play golf, y'all. This is what I do. Golf is my thing. I like golf. Put money on golf clubs and golf balls, and I'm going to show them that I play golf. Played golf for years. Just haven't played in 8 years. And I swung. Sun was shining in my face, and so I ducked to see my ball. I looked at the preachers to see if they began to notice it. And they looked where I was looking. I said, I missed it, man, from the sunlight. Did y'all catch it? They said, yeah, it's still right there. I played golf. I played golf for years. I know how to swing. I looked the part. I had just become dull because I hadn't done it in a while. My brothers and my sisters, that's how we are in our Christian journey. We become dull in our hearing when we neglect the word of God. The word of God in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, stop skipping church. It said, don't skip church as is the habit of some, but encourage one another in the faith. My brothers and my sisters, when you're not hearing the word of God regularly, you're becoming dull. When you don't read the Bible for yourself, you're becoming dull. There was once a time, my brothers and my sisters, when we didn't have readily access to the Bible. I told you in the book of Nehemiah when Ezra found the scroll because they had been oppressed for so long. They hadn't even heard the word of God. And when they found it, they actually had woke him up early in the morning before the sun got up. And they said, let us hear the word of God. And they stood up because they wanted to honor the reading of God's word. The other day, seven of us, we went out to see the movie Birth of a Nation, and Nat Turner just so happened to have a Bible. Began to read it because others did not have access to it. There was once a time, my brothers and my sisters, that your community was blessed if you had access to the Bible. Oh, Oh, but now, we got all kinds of Bibles, different translations, large print, small print, hardback, paperback, pleatherback. We've got Italian leather bound. We've got Bible apps, Bible on CD and DVD. And if you only read the Bible on Sunday morning when the preacher texts his text, guess what? You might be dull in your hearing. If going to church for you is difficult because it's raining outside, I got news for you. You might very well be dull in your hearing. If you can't get anything out of the church because it's not entertaining enough for you, news flash, you may very well be dull in your hearing. I like golf. Golf is fun for me. But because I had neglected it, I had all the right stuff. It was in my house at the time. I had the right shoes. I had the right equipment. I just didn't use it. Because I neglected it, I became dull in golf. You may love God, but when you neglect his word, when you neglect hearing it preached, when you neglect reading it for yourself, you become dull in your hearing. Then in verse 12 and 13, he says, but now, by now you should be teaching others, but you still need milk. He lets us know that we have to have a healthy spiritual diet. I wrote in my notes here, everyone loves babies. I would say most people. Some people don't got any business around. Most people love babies. You know, little baby, so cute. You know, you pinch his little cheeks. Oh, look at him. And you know, baby makes a little sound. Oh, look at him. If you're a new mother, new parent, you put pictures on Facebook all the time. Look at how cute he is. Look at how cute she is. You oh, you love babies. Oh, and then when it wets for the first time. Oh, look. Gets a little worse. You say, "Oh, you changed him." So we love babies. Baby began to crawl. We say, "Oh, look, they're crawling." Then baby begins to walk. We, "Oh, wow, he's walking now. She's walking now." When they fall and they hurt themselves, we run to rescue them because they're babies, and babies are cute. But it looks a little weird when it's an adult who still drinks from a baby's bottle. It looks weird when the person is 27 years old but still acts like a baby. And even worse, when the parent treats them like a baby. One of my challenges as a pastor is figuring out how to help people move from simply being converts to being disciples. I'm always praying about different ways to get people to be active in their own spiritual growth. Sunday sermons. We do sermon inserts with life application questions at the Bible, at the bottom. We put the sermon on podcasts and even on Facebook. On Tuesdays, we do Bible studies. It's live stream, so you don't even have to complain about the traffic. I give Paul the notes just so he can post references for you. We have prayer calls on Wednesday, and I begin to think about other things to do. Other people begin to send daily text messages. They post sermon clips on Instagram and Facebook. Pastors put their sermons on radio. Ricky Smiley has Freddie Haynes and Bishop Walker on his morning show. Steve Harvey starts his show off with a sermon by itself. We do so much to make it available. God has set it up so that we have a table of spiritual food in front of us. God has laid it out, but we look at what God has prepared for us and we say, I don't want that. I'm not hungry. The writer challenges the people by saying, you ought to be able by now to lead somebody to Christ, but you still can't. By now, you ought to be able to tell someone what salvation means and have some Bible to back it up, but you still can't. He says, I want to tell you about Jesus being the perfect high priest. And I want to tell you about the priestly order of Melchizedek. But I can't because you're still a baby. You've been sitting in the beginner's class. You're the 20-year-old in the back of the ninth grade class. There comes a time, brothers and sisters, when an infant grows beyond the milk stage and develops a taste for solid food. If this doesn't happen, then there's a major problem. To go on living on milk, mere baby food, is indicative of having a stunted growth. The same is true in our spiritual application. The same is true in the church. As a matter of fact, in Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul had to write this to the church. He said, and I, brethren, could not even talk to you about spiritual stuff. But I had to talk to you as carnal people, as babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you still aren't able to. Maturing believers should be moving on in their lives past the basic to get at the real meat of God's word. He wants us to understand that if we're going to grow, that we better eat the food that God has blessed us to have. You better eat. He wants us to understand the importance of actually growing in our faith and not staying stuck in the beginner's class. You better eat. He wants us to see that God has blessed us to have access to his word and access to his teachings to help us to mature. You better eat. You've been in church long enough to move beyond now, lay me down to sleep. You better eat. You've been in church long enough to move beyond God is great, God is good. And we thank you. You better eat. You've been in church long enough to move past this little light of mine. I'm going to let it. You better eat. Then he shares how to handle solid food. After he helps him to understand the danger of becoming dull in hearing. And then after he helps him to understand the importance of having a balanced diet with what God has provided us. He then wrestles with how to handle solid food. Verse number 14, he says, solid food is for the mature who practice what they've heard. And now their senses have been trained to discern good and evil. Okay, so my wife is from Charleston. I'm going to tell a story about her family. My wife has a unique family. They rival the only group I know of that has more people is the nation of China. Other than that, her family, the Haywood tribe, it's a whole bunch of them. So every year after Christmas, they have a seafood cookout, 2 days following Christmas. They're going to have a seafood cookout. They're going to have shrimp, and they're going to have crabs, and they're going to have clams, oysters. They have oysters. Now, not the little oysters on the hash. No, I'm talking about these are dirty oysters. You got to hold them down. Like, you got to work to get this. And so they're going to have steamed oysters. What they do is they put out a big table. And I told y'all, the only people I know that rivals them is the nation of China. And so it's a lot of people. So when they put the oysters on the table, you ought to see. I mean, they come and they circle around the table. And you better fend for yourself. You better eat. And I've seen this with my own eyes as a child walks up to the table. So innocent. Child walks up to the table and the child sees everyone else eating and the child wants to take part in it. The difficulty is that the child has no idea how to get the meat out of this thing. Any adult near the child will stop eating for a moment. And the adult will look at the child and say these words. I'm going to show you this one time. After that, you on your own. Show the child, you're going to do this. And you're going to do this. And then the adult goes right on back to eating. Now, this child don't begin to start growing and maturing. The child won't eat. And the adult will look at the child and be like, you better, I done showed you now. You better,
You better eat.
My brothers and my sisters, the same is true when it comes to our spiritual journey. God has blessed us. He's given us examples of how to live the Christian life. He's provided so many resources for us, and he's looking like saying, you better eat. He showed us how to handle it. A child learns to eat solid food from infancy by first nibbling on it until they're able to handle it. You know, when you have a little baby, Jamal is here now, he can testify, I give him just a little bit of meat, and they just nibble. They see you eating, and they're just doing what they saw you do, but it develops within the child an appetite for something more than Gerber. Child begins to practice eating something tougher. Over time, the child begins to develop an appetite for solid foods. They practice for a little while so they can handle it on their own. As Christians, we mature and we handle solid food when we apply the word of God in our lives. We mature and handle solid food when our lives are different because we spent time with God. As Christians, we mature and handle solid food when we move from the simple things of being a church attender to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. When you open the Bible and read it for yourselves, you move into solid food. When you're desiring Bible study to grow, you are now desiring solid food. When you come to church, not as a checklist item for your Sunday, but to really connect with God, you are now desiring solid food. My brothers and my sisters, I'm out your way, but since the beginning of time, God has been providing for us what we need to grow. In Genesis, we see God plant a garden. Everything mankind needed. Planted Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said to them, listen, every tree around you can eat from. Just not this one. I've provided everything that you need to eat, so you better eat. Mankind saw all the resources that God provided, but chose to have a snack instead. Humanity suffered because of it. Our God is one that always provides for us. Even in a desert where there seemed to be no food, God rained down manna from heaven. It was called manna because when it came down, the people began to eat and say, what is it? God was simply providing for them. And God, in essence, says, I've made it available for you. You better eat. Then you've got the Shunammite woman who ran out of resources. And God said, if you just trust me with what you have, you will always have food available for you. All I need you to do is simply eat. Jesus can take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000. In essence, I can hear Jesus say, I'm giving it to you. You better eat. My brothers and my sisters, God has been providing for us. He's given us opportunities to study his word and to actually grow as a Christian. But many of us have been snacking. God wants you to know, you better eat. Yeah. It's time out for simply playing church and being an attender. It's time to become a disciple. It's time to mature as a Christian. Yes, you better eat. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've provided resources for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you've made your word accessible to us. We have no excuse for not growing spiritually. We have no excuse for not being your disciples. You've removed obstacles for us. For many of us, Lord God, we have been accustomed to simply snacking on spirituality, but never truly growing and maturing to meet. I pray right now, Lord God, that this sermon will transform somebody's life. Somebody who came in, they can testify that I've simply been a convert. I've simply been going to church, but I'm not growing. Not because the resources are not there, but because I'm not availing myself to it. I pray right now, Lord God, that you would convict someone. Helping them, Lord God, to know that it means more than just going to church, but it means our relationship with you must be that of of disciples where I want to really live like Jesus. I want to emulate him in my life. I pray right now, Lord God, for somebody who's here right now. They do not know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins. I pray right now that, Lord God, you would draw them closer to you. Touch somebody's mind. Touch somebody's heart. Drawing them to you. Letting them know that you want to save them so that they too can grow spiritually. This is indeed our prayer. In the marvelous and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My brothers and my sisters, growing up, my mama, she worked hard to get food into the house. And then after work, she would come inside and she would prepare a meal for us. Sometimes, I would look at what she had prepared and I would say, I don't want that. I don't like that. My mother would look at me and she would say, boy, you better eat. My brothers and my sisters, you can provide something for someone and it has taken a lot for you to make it available to them and they can still choose to reject it. Jesus Christ loved you enough, loved me enough, that he endured the death on an old rugged cross for your sins and my sins. He was the perfect priest in that he was the Lamb of God sacrificed for us, and then he was the one offering the sacrifice for us as well as the one receiving it for us. He's made it available. Salvation for you and for me. Many of us can sit at the table and see that God has provided salvation for us. The question is, will you eat? Will you partake of that which God has blessed us to have? As we stand all over the sanctuary, my brothers and my sisters, if you've never confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that right now. You can literally make a declaration of faith saying, I receive him as my Lord and Savior, not just to be a convert, but to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here at Uplift, my brothers and my sisters, we simply invite you, for one, to pray a collective prayer. A collective prayer confessing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Then we're going to ask you this. If you're looking for church membership, as the ministers are going to come, we're going to invite you to make your way down after we pray this collective prayer. Simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.